This is Ken Paulson from Americana Music News. Today we've got a great conversation with Gordy Quist of the Band of Heathens, but first, the news. The Rhythm and Blooms Festival in Knoxville has announced its initial lineup for the festival, which takes place April 6th through 8th, 2018, and the headliners include Dr. Dog, Paul Thorne, the McCrary Sisters, Mowgli's, The Lonely Biscuits, and Lily Hyatt, which is a great lineup, and we look forward to that show. The other interesting announcement of the week is a brand new exhibit planned for the Country Music Hall of Fame, and it's called Outlaws and Armadillos, Country's Roaring 70s. That begins May 25th of 2018, of course, and that'll continue February 14th, 2021 is the final date, so it's got a long run. And what it does is celebrate the country music, the outlaw country music of the 70s. I can remember at a very young age coming into Austin and being just stunned by the quality of music there. People like Jerry Jeff Walker and Rusty Weir and Kinky Friedman. It was just a great, great scene. And of course, those folks all draw other talented people to town. And in the meantime, in Nashville, there was Bobby Bear and there was Waylon Jennings. So between those two cities, they really reinvented country music for a decade. And this is celebrated at Outlaws and Armadillos, Country's Roaring 70s at the Country Music Hall of Fame. Let's turn now to our conversation with Gordy Quist and begin with a little taste of Sunday Morning Record. This is Ken Paulson for Americana Music News, and we're pleased today to be talking about the hardest working band in Americana, I think, with Gordy Quist, who is a member of the Band of Heathens.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a big fan of Duende, and actually your entire body of work. Whoever you've worked with has done a good job of getting your records out, because those of us who write about Americana have known about the Band of Heathens from the beginning, and I'm only half joking about how hard you guys work, because you're out all the time, you're promoting records, you're doing interviews, which every band doesn't do, but it's paid off. You've got great word of mouth.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate to be an independent band from day one, and we've been able to kind of keep working and making records. It's been great.
For those who do not know the band, it has an interesting origin in that three of you were singer-songwriters, really, and out of that came a band?
Well, it was kind of a band from day one. We were all, there actually were four of us singer-songwriters fronting a band, one right after another every Wednesday night at a club in Austin, and the same drummer was playing in all four bands, and we would oftentimes sit in with the other artists. So like it kind of ended up being this loose jam that turned into a band. I mean, it was a band from day one. It just had multiple front men.
But it gelled early.
Yeah, it gelled early. I think singing harmonies together was like the area that we really realized we enjoyed playing together and singing together, and then started taking it on the road from Austin.
We saw the Band of Heathens on the Sandy Beaches cruise this year and last, and I will tell you that I often ask people who are on that Americana music and blues cruise, who surprised you, what band jumped out at you that you enjoyed most, and over again, it's the Band of Heathens.
Oh, cool!
And it's not even it's not your demographic, right?
Yeah,
it's a really wide age group.
Yeah,
And they talk about the quality of the songs and the hooks, the melodies. So I mean, that's sort of that's the key to being a popular band, of course. And you've got multiple songwriters, so you can be pretty deep.
Yeah, it's nice having multiple songwriters, and then the band. I mean, the guys in the band are all really great about, when you bring a song to the studio, they all know how to add hooks in, you know, a drum fill, you know, or a keys part. They really kind of make the songs come to life.
Well, you mentioned that you were fortunate to be an independent band from the beginning, and that is so counterintuitive to what the business has been about. You know, it'd be kind of like saying, well, thank God we couldn't get anybody to sign us. But in your case, and increasingly now, that's what works best.
Yeah, it's for a while there, it seemed like all of our friends that were on labels were complaining, wanting to get off the label, and then all of our friends that weren't on labels were complaining, wishing they had, you know, some funding and a label behind them. And, you know, we borrowed some money on our first record, and we were really fortunate in that we made enough to pay all that back and then make another record. And it's kind of just been this self-propelling machine where we're fortunate enough to make enough money to make another record and pay for the, you know, publicity and hire all the people that a label would hire anyway. We've got a really great team of people. So yeah, it's been good. You know, who's to say we would entertain. I mean, we turned down some label offers early on, but now, I mean, I don't know that we really need it. We kind of have a good thing.
Well, and you see the most established artists. I mean, the Mavericks are a pretty good example of an established band that decided, you know, they're going to go with 30 Tigers as a partner, but basically they launched their own label.
Yeah.
You call your own shots. And Raul Malo was telling me that they're going to put out a Spanish language Mavericks record.
Wow.
Which is cool, but you could see a major label saying, nah, that's not...
Yeah,
we can't sell those, or we're not going to do as well as we'd like to do. So they get to call the shots, and that get to be as creative as possible.
Yeah,
you know, I know that you guys are all ambitious in the most positive and creative way. If people talk to you about the band, is there any way you guys see yourselves as setting yourselves aside from the pack, away from the pack? What makes a Band of Heathens different?
I don't know. It's weird. I feel like we've always kind of been on an island. There've been a lot of our friends do these tours with, you know, multiple bands, and they're all buddies, and their audience seems to be the same group of people. And we certainly have lots of friends in other bands that we've done tours with. But I don't know. I don't know if the sound is. It's not like it's that unique. It's all derived from things that have come before. But yeah, I don't know that anyone's doing it the way we do it right now. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that hurts us in some ways. I don't know. But, you know, we're just trying to make the sound we make. And we're fortunate we get to just make, you know, like you said, like what Raul Malo was saying, you just do whatever you want to do.
You know, the advantage of being... your own band, really, is you call the shots. But what happens when you need to make a decision about how soon do we follow up to end day? And it's helpful sometimes to have a voice that says, no, this is the way we really need to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we have a manager. Our manager's really great. And we definitely have support and lots of good advice. But, you know, I don't know. We just recorded this record. So... a good friend of ours this last year, George Reef, he produced two of our records and has kind of been a mentor to us in the studio. He passed away this last year, and they were his family was going to sell off all of his studio, and I was like, wait a minute, you know, we got to find a way to keep this all together and keep the studio going. So that's what I'm doing. I recently bought that gear, and I'm trying to keep this studio alive, which is also now kind of means that we have a home base kind of playground studio to work in.
And that's
in Austin. Right. And it's a really great space, but we've made records there before in the past. But in December, I booked like four or five different artists that I've been working with producing records for, and we had like 4 days not booked in the middle. So called all the guys and it's cool because we can just experiment. I don't know that we have enough songs yet to make another record of originals, but we found this Ray Charles record from like 1972 called A Message from the People, and it's not on iTunes, it's not on Spotify. The only way we found you can get it is used vinyl or used CDs. It's out of print. And so there was a used vinyl copy floating around the band, and I fell in love with this record. Couple songs in particular, and I was like, oh, we should cover that song. And then started thinking about it. It's kind of this political record that is totally the message of the record in 1972. It's almost like he was speaking to us today. It's right on. And so we had this studio available and a few days off, so we cut the whole record start to finish. And we probably have another day or two of overdubs to finish the thing, but it's mostly done. And I don't really know what we're going to do to it, or do with it, or how we're going to release it.
The entire album?
The entire album. We cut an entire Ray Charles album, start to finish. And it was kind of ambitious, because like some of those tunes were pretty crazy. And you know, it's arguably the best voice right. of, you know, a few generations at least. And it's hard. Some of the songs I wasn't sure how we're going to do this, because like we don't have Ray Charles singing these, right. and that's what makes a lot of them really special. But it actually kind of all is, I think, hanging together, and we got to figure out, we're going to finish it, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it. So maybe that'll come out this year, I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely aren't being pushed around by some label.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure, you know, if there was someone telling us the best thing to do for your career, that's probably not the best thing to do, but it was fun, and it's a great exercise creatively to, like, see what we can do.
It's fantastic. I know 1972 well. That was, and obviously I'm dating myself, but that I was number 56 in the draft lottery that year.
Wow.
So being in the middle of the Vietnam War, and Watergate was beginning to unveil itself. So that's cool. I had no idea that Ray Charles sort of had a political bent on record. That's amazing.
So he didn't write the songs. They're all covers, but the record is amazing from start to finish, the way he makes a statement with this collection of songs. It's so cool. I mean, there's, you know, the song Abraham, Martin, and John.
Sure, yeah.
He does a version of that. America the Beautiful closes the record. There's a song, I Gotta Do Wrong. It's so good. Another song called Heaven Help Us All that Stevie Wonder had a hit with, I think, a year or two earlier.
Right.
But I love Ray Charles' version of that, and so anyway, we're excited about it. But again, like, I don't know what we're gonna do with it. But
well, put me down for one copy. I'm pumped about that.
Yeah,
it does beg the question: are you like walking through a lot of vinyl bins and saying that looks odd? I need to listen to that.
Yeah, I've got a little vinyl collection and two or three turntables at home. I like vinyl, but I'm not like addicted to the collecting of vinyl like a couple guys in the band are total vinyl junkies. I mean, every tour they come home with bags and bags of vinyl. So it's cool kind of digging through stuff and finding records that aren't, you know, digitally released. You actually can't find them anywhere else.
Well, anyway, that is the best "What have you recorded lately?" story I've ever heard. Good for you. So you've got in the pipeline probably an EP, something else in the coming year.
Yeah, probably. We'll see.
The how many years now has the Band of Heathens been roaming America?
12 years.
And how many dates a year?
Well, this last year, I'm not really sure. We probably did 150.
Wow.
You know, we used to do 250. There was a period there where we were on the road all the time. And this year was really busy, the front half of the year. And then the last month or two has been kind of mellow. But yeah, 2018 is not going to be crazy, I think, on the touring front. But hopefully spend a bunch of time in the studio and do some touring. But
well, given that much touring and how many dates you're out there and how long you've been out there, if my math is correct, everyone in America should have seen you by now.
I wish that were true.
Well, congratulations on a great career. We're still listening to Duende, and look forward to the Band of Heathens do Ray Charles.
Yeah, we'll see what. Well, hopefully it'll come out. We'll see.
Gordy Quist, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ken.
The strangest thing, how the days go by.
Americana Music News is brought to you by Sprinter Media. You can reach us at sprintermedia@comcast.net. Theme music from Norm.